ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to this podcast. The foundation of ACCA in 1904 was to create a professional body for accountancy professionals that was open to all. We take pride in being the first body to admit women members and other notable milestones in the profession's evolution. The value of inclusion remains at the core of everything that we do. One thing that the pandemic has taught us is the need to reappraise our values and approaches. The rebuilding of our lives, our economies, and our profession can and should be done in ways that challenge our accepted norms. We should pause to think how we can do better. It's an opportunity to reset that cannot be missed. Diversity and inclusion are collectively one key aspect of this, building towards a better society where all have the same range of opportunities available to them. And this podcast accompanies our report. My name is Clive Webb and I'm the Head of Business Management in the Professional Insights team at ACCA. And I'm pleased today to be joined by my guest, Paul Barwick-Copeland. For those of you who watched the Diversity and Inclusion session in the 2019 Accounting for the Future conference, you may remember Paul's insightful comments. As ACCA has now released its report in this area, I thought it was a good time to catch up with Paul again. Paul is the Value Realisation Services Director at NICE Limited. Paul has worked with clients and in-house in the D&I space and most recently set up the LGBT Plus Forum at NTT Data in the UK. Paul, welcome to this podcast.
Hi there, Clive. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Probably the trickiest question of all, Paul, how do you define the terms diversity and inclusion?
Interesting topic. So for me, diversity is looking at the representation of different groups. So making sure that from a organizational perspective, we're making sure that we've got a diverse representation of groups. For me, the inclusion piece is active engagement of those groups. So not just looking at having people that look different, sound different, represent different parts of society as being part of the makeup of an organization, but the inclusion part for me is actively engaging and listening to those areas. So understanding what that looks like, understanding who is doing what, and actively engaging each of those areas of the business.
And I guess there are two other terms that get thrown into this, which are equality and equity. How do those play into this space?
Well, for me, it's the equality pieces around looking at, on top of the foundation of diversity and inclusion, the equality pieces around everyone being given the opportunity to act on what they're saying. So being given equal, and for me, the equality and equity pieces is very similar. You've brought in people of various different backgrounds. You've got that representation there. You're engaging them. But it's working almost from that meritocracy perspective, that regardless of somebody's background, how they look, how they feel, etc., everyone is given an equal opportunity. You listen to their stories in equal measure. And equity is about making sure that equal opportunity is delivered across the whole organization, regardless of hierarchy, regardless of role within the organization. Everyone is listened to and engaged in equal measure, and for me that's the important piece. I think diversity and inclusion are the first couple of steps, but actually what do you do with that and where do you go after that in the equity and equality spaces.
And the two very powerful words you used there, I think, Paul, one was listening and the other one was story.
Yeah, I think if anything we've seen more of people understanding the value of both of those in 2020 than maybe any other time.
So that probably takes us on to how does this agenda look in the light of the pandemic? Because we've all been asked to do things differently. We bring a different self to work almost in many cases. So what has been the impact of the pandemic on this agenda?
So I think this has been a really interesting year from a diversity and inclusion perspective. As you say, early on around the world, with lockdown taking on many different forms, people started to either work from home if they could, and if not, they were working elsewhere. And that presented different areas of people being forced to be their authentic self, whether they wanted to or not. The blurring between personal life and professional life was more paramount in people's lives more than any other time. So whether you could work from home, it was a case of people being having to balance work life with family life, having pets, having children, having everything else happen around them whilst trying to structure a professional day. Be that being on Zoom calls, be that trying to work flexible hours with homeschooling, etc. Or even people having to travel to go to work. And what does that mean if you have a partner at home who is having to take on not just their job, but also an element of homeschooling? So the world was put into a state of flux early on. And it's had a really interesting impact on diversity and inclusion. If anything, I think the thing that we found earlier in the year, globally to a certain extent, that people were a lot more empathetic. Suddenly there was a lot more understanding. People were a lot more relaxed around sharing who they were to their colleagues. And with that, most organizations started to see people sharing their diverse backgrounds, sharing where they lived, who they lived with, what they were doing, their children, their pets, etc., as I've said. So where there was a lot more of a lens focused on not just your professional self, but being your authentic personal self. And for many organizations, that was encouraged. That could be down to somebody working in an office who's working from home, or somebody who's in the service industry, somebody in a contact center who is suddenly having to take calls working from home, deliver a branded experience, but also balancing the challenges of having a family at home at the same time. So there was a lot more empathy within organizations and within the public domain overall. People were a lot more empathetic. That brought in the opportunity for people to start having inclusive conversations where people would start to talk around, okay, I see that you're in this space or your children are doing this. Let's have a conversation. So I think the diversity was sort of the first thing that was brought under the lens with the start of the pandemic. The inclusion piece, conversations that people didn't think they would be having with colleagues started to happen. Where are you? What are your children doing? Oh, where are you going? How are you coping? Things that were not just around your professional life, but your personal life were being acknowledged, and differences were being acknowledged on a more regular basis. People were starting to feel that they were in a space to support their colleagues. In the background, we were dealing with the aftermath and the consequences of the pandemic. So people were showing a more sensitive personal side to their personality. So the conversations around inclusion, what are you eating, where are you going, how can I help you, started to become a lot more prevalent in organizations, to the point that a lot of organizations realized quite early on that actually their role as a strong employer wasn't just around making sure people could do their work effectively wherever they wanted to be, but actually the smarter organizations realized, actually, how do you take that step in to make sure that people feel supported? And if they are worried about family or loved ones, etc., how do you start building those bridges to support those colleagues as human beings? So I think the diversity and inclusion conversation changed quite early on. The piece that is particularly interesting, not just from a pandemic perspective, 2020 is also the year that we've had the BLM movement evolving out of the issues and the terrible actions around George Floyd. And that has acted as a catalyst around conversations around diversity and inclusion, asking how people feel about things, that empathetic aspect, but also being able to actively say, this is something I'm troubled by. And I think that that has really acted as a catalyst for individuals, but also organizations around understanding the value of diversity and inclusion in the workplace, but also as a society. So I think that's been a really interesting time for us. The pandemic showed people to be individuals more than just employees within an organization. And with BLM and the activities that have occurred globally subsequently, people are now more aware around diversity, inclusion, and actively more about inequality than ever before. The negative side of the pandemic has been, we have seen issues with women suffering more from abuse, marital abuse, when they've been in a home environment than ever before. LGBTQ members of the community globally have had issues where they were isolating maybe with relatives, where actually the relatives weren't necessarily supportive of who they were and how they expressed themselves. So there's been issues with mental health and mental wellness within the LGBTQ community. And as I said, we've seen conversations around race and gender and class more than ever before. So the 2020 will be remembered for various different things. But from a D&I perspective, I think there was a lot of focus on moving away from just the employee to the individual and understanding what that looks like. But as we've moved into the second half of this year, the BLM focus has made people more aware, not just of who they are and who they're working with and that empathetic aspect, but there's been a lot more focus on understanding inequality still exists. So when we talk about equality and inequality, understanding that it still exists and still exists globally for large numbers of the population. And it is something that in 2020 has been exposed, but the next step is how do you address the issues underlying there? So it's certainly been an interesting year from a pandemic as well as a social perspective as well.
And the way you express that, Paul, is actually a very positive story, isn't it? That there's a lot that we can carry forward into 2021 and beyond to build on what perhaps has happened in 2020. Yeah. So what should organisations start to be doing? I mean, from our survey that formed part of the report, a lot of our members were less than certain about the steps they should be taking. So what are the sort of 2, 3, 4 key steps that organisations should be thinking about building forwards?
So you mentioned something, Clyde, and for me, I think it is around, okay, this has been a year unlike any other, but how do we take what has happened and look positively to the future? And I think there are quite simple steps, actually. This is something that existed before the pandemic. So in previous years, lots of organizations had started to actively look around, what does D&I mean to them as an organization? And I think what this year has presented is a whole set of opportunities of how to engage your workforce, how to engage your colleagues on a human level and understand what are their challenges, who they are, what do they want, what does equality and equity look like from their perspective. So my first point would be, don't let the 2020 be a lost opportunity. I would look at new ways of engaging your colleagues, your workforce, in order to understand what have people felt from this year and where do they want to go. Most people that I've spoken to in the last 9 months now have a view of what the future of the workplace looks like for them. And the empathy is in there, understanding is in there, and being able to relate to colleagues. So I think the first thing is build off of this year, engage your workforce, look at new ways of finding out what people want, how they want to be supported by their employers, and be aware that what they wanted maybe in 2019 is not the same as they'll want in 2021. So engage, understand how to engage, look at new channels, look at new opportunities to engage all of the staff, giving them all an opportunity to tell you what their focus is and what they want to work on. The second piece, and you've mentioned this already, is I would then focus on storytelling. For me, storytelling has become a really powerful, I want to say tool, but I think it's more than a tool, of conveying somebody's personal story and experience, but also opening that up for other people to start to relate and empathize or look at ways of how they can support. So I would think if we're saying, okay, start listening and engaging, the second piece would start looking at storytelling. For me, 2021 will be, what does 2020 mean from you from an experience perspective? Tell the organization, what did you experience? How did you feel? What did you want? And how do you think an organization can help you? So I think organizations need to open up those channels, but then look at actively giving a platform to individuals to share their story, and to share their story that actually 2020 could be a long roller coaster. So it has been for many of different emotions, and priorities have shifted throughout that time. But let people have a voice, let people share their stories. And then the third thing for me is, how do you then start turning those opportunities for feedback into action plans? It's great, you've listened, you've given the opportunity for people to be heard. Then let's work on within organizations on looking at ways that can be taken further. And there are lots of interesting ways that organizations are looking at this, whether you apply design thinking to bring people together to say, okay, you come from a diverse set of backgrounds. Let's look at some of the patterns here, some of the challenges, and let's look at how we want to share those with an organization and what do we want to achieve. And I think we'll see a lot more people. I've already heard something anecdotally in the last month where suddenly a lot of people who may have been on the periphery of wanting to help in the D&I space, but they weren't quite sure whether it was for them or whether they felt that there was value they could deliver or give back. More and more people seem to feel comfortable to say, I have a voice and I want to share and I want to help. So for me, it's listening, storytelling, and then looking at ways that actually that can be taken further as an action plan within an organization. And I think that's what we'll see a lot of companies looking to do in the next 12 months.
And of course, this all makes good business sense for organizations, doesn't it? There are benefits to this.
It's a really interesting one. For a long time, there have been discussions around the business case for D&I, apart from it's the right thing to do from a moral perspective. Organizations have said, okay, but is there anything else? And the data coming through, and it's been there for a couple of years, but it's coming through stronger now than ever before. Those organizations that are diverse and inclusive at all levels of the organization generally perform better than those that aren't. And it's something that initially the data coming through on the stock market suggested there was a slight shift if you were more diverse as an organization, but inclusive, not just with figureheads that represented different minority groups, but actively inclusive with different minority groups across the organization. The data suggested that you were more likely to be performing more positively. We've seen that happen more and more, I think, actually during this year, that diversity of thought brings together a richness of content and ideas, and that's generally helped companies to evolve sometimes quicker and in different ways compared to companies that are less diverse. So the organizational piece is a really interesting one, because I think we're seeing companies start to pay back dividends by actively reorganizing itself around D&I.
And that other, I guess, key lesson for 2020 has been the agile organization and that different way of thinking, isn't it? That links very firmly to what you just said.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting one from an employee perspective. So I think we have seen a shift to the agile organization, whether that is something that is overt within the workplace or just a set of different behaviors, how you can pivot dependent on changing needs. This being the year where needs have changed within seconds. And what does that look like? And how do you change back, et cetera? And that has an interesting impact around employees. So we're definitely seeing, and this was the case last year and last few years, that people coming into the workforce, regardless of their background, generally would be a lot more interested in diversity and inclusion and what that meant from an organizational perspective. And there'd been a shift even in that questioning. It wasn't just around what does D&I mean to you as an organization. In 2018, 2019, I heard more and more people say, okay, you talk about D&I, it's great. You're a member of this group and you do this. What does that mean day to day? What will that mean for me? What does it mean to a colleague who looks like this and is from this background? How are they treated? So I think that we've seen a shift around what do people want to see organizations talking about to what is actually happening. So it's a really interesting thing that people need to show that they're living and breathing the whole experience of D&I rather than just talking about it. But we're also seeing a pattern come through from an employee perspective. The smarter organizations have learned, and they learned a while ago, and this is accelerated, that actually you don't just benefit as an organization by having a diverse and engaged and inclusive workforce, but actually it broadens your brand. It broadens how you're seen in the marketplace. And if anything, it becomes a way of prospective employees being attracted to you. So we're now seeing that shift that actually it's something that people within the workplace and people coming into the workplace for the first time are actively seeking out organizations that are actively involved in D&I, not just saying that they do something in this space.
So really our message is 2021 is an opportunity, isn't it?
Build
forwards.
Yeah, and it's for me, 2020 is, as I said, a year unlike any other. It's been a challenging year, but with it, we've seen some really interesting developments. As I said, we've seen people thrust into a world where they've had to balance who they are as well as their jobs. And that's meant that there's been an element of empathy. There's been an element of people being their authentic selves far more than ever before. And that's been at all levels of an organization. But when we've seen, as I've said, the other aspects coming in, whether we're talking about BLM or we're talking about other aspects of discussions around equality or inequality, I think 2020 has given us an opportunity to review who we are and what we are. 2021 is how do we take this further? So the inclusion aspect, I think diversity most people get, but the inclusion aspect of an organization is, okay, we need to take this to the next level. Inclusion is not just, and D&I overall actually, is not just for one small percentage of the business, it's for everyone. And for me, that's the big piece for 2021 is work on what you've gained as an individual and as an organization and work and develop that further for 2021.
Paul, that's a brilliant note to wrap us up on, I think. Thank you for your thoughts today, as intriguing and as thought-provoking as ever. We hope you found this session useful. If you want to read the full report that accompanies this or access any of the abstracts of it, please then visit either the ACCA website or download the ACCA Professional Insights app. But thank you, Paul, very much indeed. And thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.